We are joined now by Te Reata Mākihā. He is of Ngāpuhi and Tarawa descent and is an acknowledged tohunga of Maramataka Māori, the Māori lunar calendar, Te Taiao Māori, me ona tini mahinga, Māori traditional food planting and harvesting practices, and kōrero tukuiho, Māori history handed down through generations. He was a keynote speaker at a waka symposium called Te Hau Kōmaru, held recently in Tauranga. He joins me now. E te matua, re reata, tēnā koe.
Mōrena, ngā mihi nui rā, kē a koe me te hunga o tahuri mai ki te hakarongo mai. Ngā mihi nui.
Me tō whakawātea mai a koe anō ki a mātou e mihi ana e te matua. Matua, you are on a crusade to reinvigorate traditional Māori practices, particularly with regard to the environment. First of all, where does your expertise in these areas around planting and harvesting in traditional Māori ways, the Maramataka, the Māori lunar calendar, where does that expertise come from?
Our tūpuna, our ancestors left behind a language on how to understand the world that we live in through the movement and the shifts in an environment. And so a lot of the what we call kōrero tuku iho, they've left behind some really unique examples of what we should be doing and how we should be doing things. And one of those I'd like to mention at the start here, there's a tauparapara left behind in the ancient whare wānanga that was taught by Te Pene Tana, Huru Titore and Mohi Waitai in them through the Hokianga whare wānanga. That starts off with the tapu mana I a te ika I karanga che te tai o hokianga. So further down in that tauparapara, they mention these, there's a kōrero that says, ko rimu haere kauai, ko tōtara haere kauai, ko pukatea haere kauai, ko koroi haere kauai, ti tie tatai, and it carries on. But in that brief mention there of those rākau, those actual rākau mark the upper canopy of a forest during the time of the first phase of summer known as Matitikura. And so all these how to understand environments haven't been infused into our education system at all. In fact, they were almost wiped out, I think, following the Tohunga Suppression Act way back in the day. And so these wānanga moved around, and I have the diary of where these wānanga shifted to different people's homes. It was an effort to avoid being detected, I think. And that's the sad thing about all this, that, you know, now in 2020, 2021, we're starting to go back to recapturing all that ancient knowledge that had been passed down over thousands of years and how to live in harmony with an environment. And koe rā te mahi ai nei, Julian.
You were taught this both from a theoretical point of view and being able to recite those tauparapara, those incantations, those karakia, but also from a practical point of view in terms of the relevance of the theory and how they can be applied to normal and everyday practice. How long did that take?
8 years. Being taught in the dark. And
what do you mean by being taught in the dark?
Well, you weren't allowed. Yeah, well, you had to wait until the sun set, and then the tohunga would start reciting, and you'd copy them. And it was a form of wānanga they called the hiringa i te hihiri, hiringa i te mahara. And this was how to infuse memory work into a person, because you remember it was all oral history. The old people never wrote anything down. It was all passed on through oral histories. And the only way to recall that deep fountain of oral histories was to have precise word triggers. And that's what the wānanga taught you. So without a word trigger, it was impossible to recover all those old kōrero dating back thousands of years prior to the arrival of our waka. As I understand, some of them go back over 5,000, 6,000 years even.
So the word trigger in terms of process would be a tohunga would say to you, tapatapatu, and you would go, tapatapatu ki te rangi whakaea kauana, and you would recite that incantation.
Yes. And except with that particular one, that was taught to our old people from Wānanga and Tainui. I think it was at Tauranga Nui Marae. And, of course, on the way home, our old people couldn't remember the word trigger. So they were in Wellsford somewhere. They stopped off for a kai, and it was during the time of the black and white TV, and the Flintstones were on. And then whoever it is on that Flintstones comes up with that yabba-dabba-doo, and it triggered their memory. But what happened was every wānanga after that, there was, you know, it was a real crack-up moment for them. And so in the wānanga, if that was your tau parapa that you had recalled, from there on in, they used that word yabba-dabba-doo. Hey, Julian, yabba-dabba-doo. Just to have a bit of fun, eh? But that's the idea of those word triggers. And without them, you can't recall them.
And how many people were given access to these, I'll call them higher schools of learning?
I have no idea, but there were higher schools of learning in Tangitirodia, Kaikohekohe, Waimaa, Omanaya, Whirinaki, and also out in Waio Te Marama. So they moved around. And I think there were some also on North Hokianga, with Himeo Nakamira in them. So these wānanga were all over the place, and different houses of learning, ne? That they, some of them taught the use of the stars, others taught tauparapara, some taught all those pūrākau, and yeah. But those were some of the learnings that we missed out growing up, and it wasn't until recently that we sat down with some of our mates from down Pōneke and decided if we didn't bring this back, it's going to get lost.
Why is it important then that these thousands-year-old traditions are required now? Why are you looking to try and revitalize them and reinvigorate them now?
Well, the first thing is that as a guide for our mokopuna in the future, firstly, 1,000 years from now, is to guide the mokopuna in what we should be doing in this world where they talk about climate change. So in a lot of these traditional knowledge that was passed down, you can actually track the movement of nature and how we are finely tuned to nature. See, there's an old kōrero, tuia ki te rangi, tuia ki te whenua, tuia ki te moana, e rongo te pō, e rongo te ao. And that's always been explained to us as how we are tuned in. We are part of an environment. We're not separate from it. But then how do you encourage mokopuna to understand and to learn what that actually means? Well, if we have a look at some of the research that we've recently carried out with some of the whānau from up north there, using the takeke as your mako te moana. If you have a look at tohu te rangi, that tohu is a whetū called rehua, now, that sits in the te mataua Māui, in Māui's fish hook.
Antares, ne? Antares.
Antares, yeah. Antares, and then, so that's your tohu te rangi. And so when it rises in the face of the sun, it triggers the peak flowering of the Pohutukawa and the northern rata, and it was known by our old people as the Wao Te Matiti Muramura, the third phase of our summer. And so there you got the tohu o te rangi, tohu o te whenua, so hea ha te tohu o te moana. Well, we managed to track it down to te iko o te takeke, that's the piper, and it comes in on those ngatai pariato o te oturu o te muramura, which is a specific maramataka phase. And 2 years ago, that phase moved by 7 weeks or more, but we were still able to track it because if you follow those tohu, when those tohu are in alignment, those fish eggs come ashore again. So that's some of the understanding that we tried to pass on to our mokopuna. And he ha tēnā mea te e rongo te pō, e rongo te ao. Well, that's the understanding that te pō is the heke wahine and te ao is te rerenga tāne. And in any environmental work, they tell us to keep everything in balance. e koe tukuna kia tāwe wenua, engari me taurite te noho.
Beautiful, Matua. Beautiful. And in that example, you can see the relationship between theory, the practical application, and as you say, you've seen changes in when the takeke appears because of climate change, the warming of the waters. That time has changed. Has it been a later appearance of the takeke as a result of warming of waters, of climate change and its effects?
Yeah, not too sure if it is climate change, because in watching the taiao, it changes all the time. So this year, the timing shifted back to early December again. So it's realigned itself again. So it's back where it was a few years back. And so it shifts around all the time. So I don't understand what they mean by this climate change, because it moves all the time. And if you learn to follow the tohu o te rangi, tohu o te whenua, and the alignment with ngā tohu o te moana, you can actually track those changes. And some of those changes are predictable too, with the like the ninihi phase of the winter. We have six phases of winter. So Wiroi te ninihi is a little bit longer this year. It was long, real long last year. And so these sorts of things can be detected once people are tuned into it. And that's what we're trying to do with the revitalizing the knowledge that sits behind the understanding of a taiao through maramataka and the repeating cycles of the moon.
Ko re reo ta mākiha tēnei, e whakarongona koutou ki te reo Urirangi o Aotearoa. This is RNZ National on Saturday morning. I'm Julian Wilcox, filling in for Kim Hill. Ko rua te kau miniti, muri mai te taku karaka te taima iaina, it's 20 past 10. We're speaking with tohunga Rereata Mākiha, who is on a mission to revitalise mātauranga Māori, Māori knowledge, particularly within the curriculum to teach our tamariki, our children, nature, the practical effects and impacts of nature, and indeed the theory behind the practical application of traditional practices. Matua, how do you propose that these traditional notions, that the way in which this knowledge is transmitted, how do you propose that can align, or maybe not align, with the current curriculum, which is being redeveloped, as you know, within Aotearoa?
Yeah, when we talk about curriculum, it's important not to allow the Ministry of Education to develop that curriculum.
Why? Why not? Why shouldn't the MOE, Ministry of Education, develop that curriculum?
Because they'll always get it wrong.
How do you know that?
Because the curriculum needs to grow from these traditional knowledge, kōrero tuku iho, and it requires the knowledge of a wānanga type, a kaumātua sitting at the head of all these wānanga, to ensure that the knowledge that is passed down through into these curriculums, he tika, he pono, he marama, manga mokopuna. And so we are looking at designing and developing a curriculum independent of the Ministry of Education. I'm hoping that the Ministry of Education will come on board, because we are developing it for our kura kaupapa, te nuinga ka ākona roto I te reo. E hoki ana ki ngā kōrero tuku iho ki o tātou pūrākau, ngā tau parapara, ngā poroporoa ki ngā kōrero e tukuna mai rā e o tātou nei mātua tūpuna. Me taku mahara hore kau tērā mātauranga kei roto I te tari o te Ministry of Education.
So you're taking the bull by the horns, because you're developing, aren't you, at the moment, your own whare wānanga called Taumata o Kupe. What is Taumata o Kupe?
It's going to be a digital interactive learning platform, a self-directed learning centre where mokopuna can come along. They don't need to be at school. They can come along and access all these old kōrero tuku iho that have been left behind by our tūpuna to understand our world. And the first whare of knowledge of mātauranga that's going into this Taumata o Kupe is around our voyaging and our waka navigation. You know, one of the sad things, of course, is that, you know, we grew up with the Ministry of Education teaching us the history of Scott and Amundsen, hey, making it to the South Pole, or nearly made it to the South Pole, not realizing that over 1,000 years before that, our tupuna tangia, or uhenga, had actually sailed to the South Pole and had gone back to report to his elders that there was no land to the south. But what they came across were islands of white coral floating in the sea that was cold to the touch. They had no word for icebergs. And so we were never told those stories, even though they predate Scott and Amundsen by over 1,000 years. And that's the sad part about allowing the Ministry of Education to lead these discussions.
What are the practical outcomes that can be gained by teaching this to our children? What will be the outcome of that?
There's a big call around the low participation of our tamaki, Māori and Pacifica kids in the STEM programs. Nah? And that's right across the board. But what they don't engage with is Pākehā science. Nah? And we're hoping that we go back to our tūpuna science, bring them back into the kura, and I can guarantee you there will be a change of engagement, especially at the senior levels in school, and have our tamariki being proud of how scientific and brilliant their ancestors were, you know, navigating millions and millions of uncharted oceans just by using the wayfinding techniques that our waka crews use today. They can sail all the way all over the Pacific without the need for any instruments. And I think that's the beauty, I think, that sits behind all this. And that's just for waka voyaging. And then we switch into the environmental sciences, and there's no science on this planet that can detect the arrival of those takeke eggs, for example, because you only have 20 minutes in a whole year. 20 minutes in a whole year to detect it. Without these calendars, there's no way of detecting it. I don't know any calendar on this planet that can do it. And so these is the beauty of this science that we're trying to reinvigorate into our for our mokopuna and into our kura kaupapa, and all our kura, really, for our mokopuna to grow up with. And it's a journey that should not be led by the Ministry of Education.
What you're proposing is very controversial. It is essentially a separate process, a separate curriculum development process, a separate curriculum implementation process, because you're also talking about the traditional way in which this was taught, which is at night or after the sun sets, not the traditional way in which we teach our children in the modern contemporary society, certainly during the day from 9 to 3 and all that kind of stuff. This is really going to be quite controversial if you get to the point in which you can get this going and started. What do you make of that? Because people will find this quite confronting.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That'd be lovely, because we lived in a separate system for over 180 years. So what's the difference? Hey, we've only been taught one side, and that's the side from Tauiwi. Hey, our tūpuna mātauranga has been sidelined for 180 years, so I don't see what their argument is about having a separate system. We've lived with one for 180 years. Hea karereke katini hea.
Aside from yourself, does the cultural capability and capacity exist to be able to both develop and implement this plan?
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of our kura kaupapa. So we're working a lot with the kura kaupapa. They're now composing waiata, pātere, pāo pui, all those, infusing that knowledge and building on what they know about how to tune into a taiao, for example, with maramataka, and how to use it. There are huge gardening groups that are revitalising all our gardening and our science traditions using the maramataka. There's a whole host of groups around the country that are using it for self-healing. The Rongoā people are using it well. The people who are working in the area of mental health, I hate the word, but in the Ngā Rauru Rauru Pāna ki te tangata, they're using what our tūpuna understood, using the shifting and turbulent energies of the maramataka, ngā hiringa, roto te maramataka to help with the self-healing and group healing. So, yeah. Now, I think it's a good future for it. And we have wānanga set up all over the place. What's not in place yet is that bigger single controlling, if there is one, of course. But, of course, when we set up the wānanga, you need some for the west coast and wānanga for the east coast and wānanga for te puku o te whenua. And so once those wānanga are set up, Julian, they'll be able to hold these traditional knowledge for our mokopuna into the future.
And do you see this new whare wānanga that is being developed in Auckland at the Marae Point Chevalier, te Mahuruhure Marae, Taumata Okupe, do you see that as a lab, as a testing station, as a prototype to be able to start implementing this curriculum that you're talking about?
Well, it's not a lab or a prototype. It's just it's a wānanga where our mokopuna and our tamariki can venture to without getting mataku. You see the challenge with a lot of the wānanga that are held on marae is that it scares our mokopuna away because of that ātea, and those traditions that we have to follow on the marae. They inhibit a lot of learning, and if you check the data around the number of people who are going onto a marae, it's diminishing year by year. And when we set up Māori maps with Paul Tapsell and them some years ago, we thought that the marae would be the place to hold this sort of knowledge. But over the years, we found the number of people engaging with their marae dwindling every year. And that's a concern. And so we're looking now to shift the support systems to sit behind papakāinga, which engage the whānau a lot closely. And all of our whānau, too, are global. So we're not looking at small numbers of people, but we're looking at whānau that connect across the globe. And I think in time you'll see this emerge in that taumata o kupe and how mokopuna can re-engage with their whānau no matter where they are on this planet. So koe ra te aronga.
And hei whakakapi a Taiwa Kōrero, you were at the Te Haukomaru conference last week. You were a keynote speaker where many Māori navigators were present. And we're discussing navigational leadership, pathfinding leadership. When can we see this type of education being delivered on a large scale across Aotearoa, do you think?
We have our first wānanga for the Te Toki Voyaging Trust with the Hōturo in them on the 2nd, 3rd and 4th of July. Where we will start to plan and put together the first part of the wānanga that collects the information and give us direction on how the curriculum might be developed for waka voyaging and waka sailing. You see, you can, during that workshop down in Tauranga, amazing to see these young kids, you know, just learning how to tie a knot. Ki te koe ngā kanuhia mura mura mai ana. And you know, those little things give us encouragement that we're on the right path. So after this first wānanga, a three-day wānanga, there will be follow-up one, another three-day wānanga, then the final one will be another three-day wānanga that we should have the basis for curriculum and probably over 500 different strands of learning just for the waka voyaging. And we hope to finish that by the end of August. August, September. About October.
I tēnei this year, yeah?
I tēnei. Yes, yes.
E te matua e mihi ana. Mō I whaiwahi mai ki a mātou. Thank you so much for being a part of the program and coming in and talking about something that is exciting. Potentially it'll be a little bit nervous for some people listening to RNZ this morning, particularly potentially MOE. But thank you for being available and for giving us your amazing amount of knowledge on traditional Māori practices, Māori education, and the ways in which this can benefit our children, not just Māori, but all children of Aotearoa New Zealand and, of course, their children's children into the future. Te matua e mihi atu ana tēnei ka mihi ake.
Kia ora. Kia ora. Tēnā
koe. That was, of course, Rereata Mākiha, a tohunga, and his vision for transferring Māori education, mātauranga Māori, to future generations of New Zealanders.